this is Poncho Sanchez, and you listen to G5 Radio. Sabor y salsa, vaya! Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, good. It's an honor to speak to you, sir. Just going back, my father has been a big fan of yours for years, and he actually got me into your music.
So, oh, man, thank you.
So to me, it's just like a blessing. You know, God rest my pop. So, you know, his last concert that he saw with you was with Dr. John at the Keswick years ago.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's a while back, yeah.
Yeah, so to me, it's kind of a bittersweet moment here. So appreciate
thank you for that,
time,
man. That's cool, man.
Let's start here with your career just spans decades, and basically you are the conguero, the legendary salsa, I could say the Latin salsa king.
Well, they call me El Conguero. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's part of the deal, you know what I mean?
Can you take us back to basically the humble beginnings of your career?
Well, you know, I was born in Laredo, Texas, way down south in Laredo, Texas. I'm the youngest of 11 kids. And we moved to Los Angeles, California when I was 4 years old. And what happened is my older brothers and sisters, I have six sisters and four brothers. I'm the youngest of 11. So what happened when we got to California, to Los Angeles, because Laredo is just a little border town on this side of the bridge, on this side of Rio Grande, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And so we got here in the big city, you know what I'm saying? And so my brothers and sisters, they got into the radio and started listening to the radio, and they found a radio station that was playing what they called, in those days, they called it música cubana, which is Cuban music, or música tropical, which is tropical music.
Right.
Or they just called it the mambo or the cha-cha-cha. Nowadays, of course, they call it salsa.
Right.
That word wasn't even used in those days yet. And it's amazing that you called today, because I just got home about an hour and a half ago from Chico Sesma's funeral.
Wow.
Chico Sesma was the first Latin disc jockey in California to play salsa, what they call salsa music today.
Right.
He was the first guy to play that music on the radio. And my brothers and sisters in the late 50s and early 60s, they got hip to Chico Sesma on the radio.
Right.
And this guy used to only come out for like an hour or two once a week until he got a little more popular, and then they gave him two nights a week. And this guy was a legendary, the guy who started playing Latin jazz and salsa music here in California. He's the first guy, and I went to his funeral today.
Wow, my condolences to you. And
wow, the guy was 92 years old.
Oh, God,
his name was Chico Sesma. Chico Sesma, so he was a disc jockey out here in the 50s and 60s. That's what started me out. That's why I went to his funeral, because... And I knew the guy later on in life. I got to meet him and talk to him, and he was very proud of me that I would always mention him in my interviews, because that's the first guy I ever heard play Afro-Cuban music and all that kind of stuff as a little boy. My brother and sisters, older brother and sister, would hear a radio station and his show, and they would dance in the living room to the mambo and cha-cha-cha music that he would play. So it's amazing that's how it happened. So that's how I got introduced to Latin jazz, or what they call salsa music today. And, of course, what happened for me is I was playing locally around town in high school and with local bands, and playing a combination of different types of music, you know, rhythm and blues,
right.
Soul music. And then we got into the Chicago, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Tower of Power Bag, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And we were also playing, of course, Ray Barreto, Momo Santa Maria stuff. And that was when I first got married. That was 43 years ago when I was just out of high school. And then I started, like I said, I was playing with local bands for about 8 or 9 years. And then I got the gig with Cal Jader's band. Now that marked it. That's what started everything. It was in 1974, New Year's Eve, 1974-75. I got the gig with Cal Jader's band, and I was with Cal Jader for 7.5 years, and that's when I became a professional musician in 1975, and I recorded about 10 albums with Cal Jader. I won a Grammy with him in 1980, and was nominated for a Grammy in 1981, and then from there on in, it started growing That's when I, Cal Jader, before he passed away,
right.
He got me a record contract with Concord Records.
Centro Legion, Ramon Bandler, timbales, Art Velasco, trombone, Sal Craniolo, trumpet.
Now, it's interesting when you mentioned your break with Cal. It's kind of an interesting an irony because years ago, I remember seeing an interview where you mentioned that your father mentioned to you once that the music life is really hard and it's not easy. And you kind of have to have a backup plan just in case.
Yeah, right. You're exactly right.
And then when you had your encounter with Cal, it was kind of interesting. It was kind of like a friend of Cal's, but you were kind of doubtful if it was really him.
Exactly. You see, because Cal Jada was a medic in World War II. Mm-hmm. He was in the Navy, and some guy here locally in Los Angeles, because Cal Jada lived in San Francisco, where I live in Los Angeles, and I was playing a little local club here in Los Angeles, a little neighborhood club with a neighborhood band, a local band, and some guy walked in and seen me play the congas and said, "Man, you sound great." And I thought, "Yeah, who in the hell is this guy, right?"
Right.
And I said, "Hey, thanks a lot, you know what I mean, whatever, right?" And he goes, "Well, I'm a personal friend of Cal Jader's." And I thought, what? You know, I actually did not believe him. The guy's name was Ernie, and he passed away, I think, just a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Ernie was in the Navy with Cal Jader.
Okay.
And he did know Cal somewhat. Anyway, what happened is, 2 weeks later, Cal Jada was playing here in Los Angeles at Concerts by the Sea in Redondo Beach, which was a jazz club called Concerts by the Sea. And I went to go see Cal Jada play there. I didn't believe this guy 2 weeks before that he was Cal Jada's friend. And I was walking walking downstairs to go to the club, because it was a downstairs club. Downstairs, he was at the front door talking to Cal Jada. I almost died, man. And the guy said, "Hey, Cal, that's him. That's Buenos Aires."
Nice.
It was
awesome.
Ridiculous. Anyway, and he introduced me to Cal. Cal says, "Hey, my friend Ernie here says you play really good congas. You want to sit in?" And I thought, sit in? When? He goes, "Tonight, you know." And I was paying to get in to go watch his band play, right? Well, anyway, I watched the first set, half of the set, and he called me up, and I sat in. I played four songs with him, man. And he hired me 2 weeks later, man. And it's funny, after some time, I told Cal, "Hey, Cal, is Ernie like a really good friend of yours?" He goes, "You know, Poncho, I don't really know him that well. It's just that we're on the same ship,
okay,
you know, and I would see him from time to time on the ship. But he was not like a real, he was just an acquaintance." You know what I'm saying?
But as far as Cal goes, you've mentioned many times over the years that he was a father figure for you.
Yeah, you know, Cal was like my musical father. Of course, I had my own father, and who I loved and was very proud of and all like that. But Cal was my musical father. He taught me about music. And I mean, he didn't sit there and tell me how to do everything, but just by being around him, you know what I mean? And I got to hang out with Cal Jader like five times a week for 7.5 years. All over the world. I traveled all over with Cal. So I was, you know, we'd go have lunch together, we'd walk around, see the sights, and I would just pick his brain, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So that's what I learned from him, and then, of course, and then playing next to him every night, I mean, Jesus, that was like a dream come true. And not only for me, for my 10 other brothers and sisters, they were Cal Jader fans before I was. So for them, they was like, "Oh my God, my little brother plays with Cal Jader's band." I mean, they were so turned on, it wasn't funny. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And sadly, of course, you were on tour with him in Manila, if I'm correct.
Yeah, and I was with him when he died. I pushed him in the wheelchair from the hotel to the ambulance. I pushed the wheelchair, and they took him out of the and put him in the ambulance, and took him to the Manila Medical Center, and we followed the ambulance in a taxi because he wasn't feeling good.
Right.
And of course, he wasn't feeling good. He had a heart attack a half an hour after he arrived at the airport. I mean, at the hospital, in front of all the doctors, and they still couldn't save him. It was that bad of a heart attack. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And of course, you went through a couple of years afterwards where it was just really hard to even really concentrate on music. But what helped you along the way to get you through and to keep your journey going?
That was a hard time for me, man, because in one day, I lost my musical father, my hero in life, and I lost my job, man. That was, I mean, that was my job. That's all I did is play with Cal Jader. And I had my band on the side, but, you know, I'd work with my band like once every 3 months on some little gig. I mean, I was Cal Jader's conga drummer, you know what I mean? And I would had my band in the wings, so to speak, and it was weak and it wasn't happening yet. We were just kind of jamming, and we'd pick up a gig from here and here or there. Well, what happened is, you know, I fell into depression. I mean, because I had never lost anybody that close to me before, and it was a shock, you know what I mean? Right. Well, long story short, I just realized that I had to get myself together, and I did have my little band on the side, and Cal Jader, 6 months before he died, he got me a record contract with Concord Records. So that was a blessing there. So Concord was telling me, Poncho, we want to do your first record, you know? And so I got my band organized. I got it together. We started doing more gigs around town. Mm-hmm. And then we recorded our first album for Concord, which was Sonando. And it did very well. So they signed me to do a second one, which was Bien Sabroso. And Bien Sabroso got nominated for a Grammy. That was my first nomination for a Grammy, and I think it was about 1984. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've been nominated 9 times, and I've won 2 twice. Mm-hmm. So we've been involved with that. And, of course, thank God, I was with Concord Records for 30 years, and I did 28.
You're over probably 30 because, and actually I have it in front of me here, is Gaviota, which is from Discovery.
Gaviota, that came from two records that I did before I signed with Concord.
Right.
I was with Discovery Records, and I did 2 albums with them before I signed with Concord. And what they did, Discovery Records, they took 4 songs from one album and 4 songs from the other album and made the CD entitled Gaviota.
Okay.
So I thought that was kind of not cool because they should have made either 2 CDs out of it or made it a double CD, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But they took 4 songs off of my first album and 4 songs off the second album and made 1 CD called Gaviota. There's actually 2 albums, you know what I mean? But that's before I signed with Concord. So I was already kind of messing with being a band leader, but I was not dead serious or anything because I was with Cal Jader's band, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Looking at my desk here, I'm looking at some of my father's CDs along with my own. He has Gaviota, Sonado, and Psychedelic Blues, which of course has Arturo Sandoval, who you're going to be with this coming weekend here in Philadelphia.
Right.
And for me, my personal favorite has always been Latin Soul, because that's one of your Grammy-winning CDs.
Exactly, that's it, yeah. And the other Grammy I got was 3 years ago. They gave me a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes.
So they give you another Grammy, you know what I mean? So that was a beautiful thing. But, yeah, you're absolutely correct. Arturo Sandoval, we're doing this thing together on Sunday. And we've played there before. I played that concert hall before. I think it's been about... Oh God, it's been about 6 or 7 years, but we have played there before, and I remember I really enjoyed it there, and we had a really good crowd there that night, the last time I played there. And Arturo Sandoval was on that record with us, Psychedelic Blues, and I also have recorded a CD with Arturo Sandoval's band, but it was about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he used all Cuban musicians that had come to L.A. to do the record with him. But so I know Arturo Sandoval very well, and it's always an honor and pleasure to play opposite of him. We just did a concert down here, the same thing, like Arturo Sandoval's band and our band, down in San Diego, California. So I know Arturo Sandoval very well.
Okay.
And, man, we're really looking forward to going out to Philly to play. We're going to be coming from St. Louis. We've been playing in St. Louis. Then we're playing in Philly, and then we're doing 6 nights at Birdland in New York City.
Right. And the state of Latin jazz right now, in your opinion, do you see any upcoming young artists that can keep this torch burning?
Well, you know, it's going to be tough, I'll tell you that right now, because there's not too many, first of all, what it is, it's a whole different life. Life is different now.
Hmm.
To have a band on the road now is almost impossible. I travel with 9 people, and when I take my wife with me, which is most of the time, I travel with 10 people. Traveling with 10 people, it's not easy. First of all, airplane tickets are outrageous.
That's true.
And then if the people don't cover the rooms, the hotels, I gotta pay them. I mean, what I'm trying to get at is there's not too many bands that travel on the road anymore. So that's the first problem. Most guys, what they do nowadays is they just take the leader of the band and maybe the lead vocalist in like say a salsa band. They usually take the lead vocalist and the leader of the band, mm-hmm. which could be the piano player or the trumpet player or whoever he is. And there's 2 guys, and they hire a band wherever they go. And they do it that way because it's a lot cheaper instead of flying their band around and paying for all this stuff, which is cool, but the band will never sound as good as your own band. There's no way, because you don't have enough time to rehearse the band to make it sound like the band that you've had for, well, I've had my band now 35 years. I mean, it's not the same guys, but there's guys in my band right now, like, for instance, my musical director, Francisco Torres, on trombone. Francisco's been with me for, like, 18 or 19 years already.
Okay.
So there's guys that have been in the band for a while. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, I like to travel with my own band. Mm-hmm. It's tough, and I think I'm one of the few guys left that does it, you know, that travels with his own band. And that's the only way I want to do it. So that's going to be their first problem. Other things are, you know, it's hard to get a record contract with a good record label for them to help build your career and all like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one. So what they do nowadays, a lot of guys, they just do everything on their own. And that's cool, but it's hard to get big-time distributors to distribute your record all over the world. And so there's a lot of problems nowadays to make it happen. It's not impossible. I did it,
mm-hmm.
but it was a different time, and it's just a little rough. And so I always tell young upcoming conga drummers or band leaders, hey, man, first of all, it's not going to be easy. Don't think it's going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got the heart to do it and the time and the strength and the brains, it'll work, you know what I mean? But it's not going to be easy. Like, a lot of people don't understand that they think you just got to play really good to be a great, famous musician.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just to play your instrument. You have to play your instrument really good to be successful and famous. That's a must. You have to know your instrument very well. But that's only one little part of it. You got to be a great leader, and you got to get great music. If you don't read and write music or write your own music, you better get somebody who does, and you got to organize that and get that together. You got to have a good travel agency to get you the good deals to fly the band all over the world. I mean, you got to get a good record contract to let them distribute your record all over the world. I mean, there's a lot of things that come in to account to be successful. You know what I mean?
do you who do you listen to in particular out there that's in music right now that kind of catches
well your ear? You know, that's the thing. In all honesty, I don't listen to too many new artists. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do listen to Giovanni, but Giovanni is a good friend of mine. You know what I mean? Right. We're friends. You know, I love Giovanni's stuff and, you know, all the stuff on you. Of course, nowadays everybody just looks on YouTube. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so do I. You know, so I'm checking out Giovanni all the time. And I like the cat like Jimmy Delgado, the timbal player who originally started with Ray Barreto's band, and now he's got his own band, and he works with the Latin All Stars. And I look at the group that that Dandy has. What's the name of the band? Why can't I think of the name? It's a big Latin jazz band with Dandy Rodriguez on bongos and Jose Madera plays congas. And they used to play with Tito Puente's band, most of these guys, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So those are the guys I listen to and the stuff I like, because it's the older style and the older stuff. That's what I like. But the piano player from Panama, what's his name? Danilo Perez. Danilo Perez is great, but he's not a young guy no more. I remember when he was young, when he first started out in the business. As a matter of fact, he played the same concert that I played at. We were in Colombia about 3 weeks ago, and he was doing the same tours down there, as well as Eddie Palmetti was doing the same tours as us in Colombia. We played in...
He was actually up here a couple of years ago, and I was actually had the honor to meet him after the show and everything. It's just a great, great man. Just very talented. He's amazing.
Yeah, man. He's what a great guy, man. You know, we played opposite of him here in Orange County in, like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And like I said, he followed me. He played the next week after me in each place that I played in Colombia. They were all telling me, Poncho, Eddie Palmetti comes next week because they have the jazz festivals in summertime in right. Colombia, you know? Yeah. Anyway, so I got to talk to Eddie just about 3 weeks ago, and he's doing great, man. He looks good. He's moving a little bit slower, but he still sounds great, man. But it's funny, man. When he's done playing, he just gets up and walks off the stage, man. Yeah. He says, I'm done.
Yeah, it was funny. But you know, he can just get into any kind of an impromptu and just
absolutely, get man.
All electrified. It's amazing.
He's one of the legends, man, that we have, one of the few guys that we have left, you know what I mean?
Throughout your whole career, has there been any other than obviously Cal, has there been any other artists that you've worked with that really you said, you know, this guy is really going to be big, and then subsequently became big?
For us, mainly who we worked with were already famous, you know what I mean? Like on all my records, you know, like we played, Eddie Harris was featured with my band on records, and he toured with us and played with us. You know, I'm trying to think, you know, of course, Tito Puente was on my records, Mongo Santa Maria was on my records. Right. We did concerts opposite of each other. Mongo was my guest many times. Tito Puente was my guest many times. Freddie Hubbard, Diane Reeves. Mm-hmm. And so all these great, great artists. Ray Charles was on one of my records. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these great, Billy Preston. But they were already famous. They were great, great people, and it was an honor to have them on my records because, you know, you can invite anybody you want to play on your record, but they don't have to say yes. You know what I mean?
That's true.
You could think of anybody in the world. I'm gonna ask so and so to be on my record. They could always say no. I don't like your stuff.
Right. You know what I mean? And it's interesting that you mentioned Ray Charles because it was an interesting situation that almost came to be between you and Ray as far as working together on an album.
Well, what happened is he's on our Out of Sight record. Mm-hmm. That we did Marianne, which is his tune, you know. Mm-hmm. And Ray actually sang on the record with us. So Ray's on one of my records, and the way we settled that is that, you know, John Burke, the vice president of Concord Records, we were in the studio, and we had already recorded Marianne, and a friend of mine named Del Spalding played harmonica on that track, and he sang it. John Burke, the vice president of Concord Records, in the studio said, Poncho, who wrote that song? I said, that's a Ray Charles song, man, Marianne. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. He goes, you know what? Ray signed with us 2 weeks ago, signed with Concord. And I told him, Ray's got his own label, man. Why is he signing with you guys? He goes, I don't know, but he signed with us 2 weeks ago. And John Burke told him, Poncho, do you want to call him and ask him if he wants to come and sing on the record with you. And he says, it's his tune. I said, are you going to ask me if I want Ray Charles to be on my record? And he said, Poncho, do you know him? I go, yes, I've met Ray Charles about 10 years ago. And I was surprised that he told me he liked Latin jazz, and he knew about Machito and Tito Puente and all that. So Ray was something else. Anyway, long story short, we got on the phone. I started talking to Ray, and I asked him if he would sing on the record with us, and he said, yeah, I'll do it. And then I turned it over to John Burke to say, now how much money is this going to cost us to have Ray Charles sing one song on your record? I mean, that could be outrageous amount of money, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Well, the way they settled that is they said, Ray, what if you do it for free? You play one song on Poncho's record, and your next record, Poncho will play one song for free on your record. And Ray said, you know what? That sounds good. Let's do it that way.
Awesome.
So it was beautiful, man. But the only problem with that is he got sick, and then he died before I could do a record with him. So that was so I never got to return the favor, man. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, so for me, it's not so much bringing up young artists or you know, like that. I'm still just amazed by all the greats that I grew up, and I got to play with them. And like Dizzy Gillespie was a guest with my band four different times. Oh, I mean, so, you know, that kind of stuff is like, man, those are my heroes.
And the first time you played with Dizzy, I mean, what was going on in your mind besides, oh my God, is this really happening?
I could somebody pinch me, please. You know what I mean? I have video footage from an old VHS tape that we were in Sardinia, Italy, doing the Sardinia Jazz Festival, and it was Poncho Sanchez Latin Jazz Band featuring Dizzy Gillespie and Arturo Sandoval. I actually have video footage of it, and it was about almost 30 years ago, about 28 years ago, and that's before Arturo Sandoval defected from Cuba.
Right.
Arturo, at that time, he was still living in Cuba when he did that hit with us, you know what I mean?
Right.
Man, it's just amazing to have people like that on your stage with your band. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All right, now it's time for a little fun. We'd like to do our version of Watermelon Man. Bye, y'all. We'll be right back.
What another man?
And I definitely appreciate the time that you're taking out from your schedule and everything for today. Obviously, today is Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard Mr. Trump's commentary on Latinos, specifically on Mexicans. And I just wanted to get, if you wouldn't mind, what your opinion is.
Well, you know, I'm definitely not much of a politician. I'm a musician is what I am. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm definitely going to vote. Me and my wife always vote. And, you know, like I said, I'm definitely not a politician. I think he's a little rash and a little outrageous. But on the other hand, he is bringing up some things that has caused problems for the United States. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I don't think there's anybody you can point a finger at and say, you did it. You know what I mean? You ruined this, you know, ruined something. Mm-hmm. It's not that. But at least he's talking about it. I mean, I think his ideas are a little radical and crazy. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, nobody would be talking about it if he didn't start it up. Mm-hmm. And to me, something needs to be done about too many people come into the United States freely. Myself personally, I mean, I feel that everybody's welcome, of course,
right.
But let's do it the right way, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Now, take it way back. I was born in Texas. Mm-hmm. My mother and father were both born in Mexico, and they met in Laredo, Texas, when they were like, you know, 14, 15 years old, 16 years old.
Okay.
They got married very young. But the thing about my mother and father, they were both from Mexico, but as soon as they had family here, made their families in the United States, my mother and father wanted to become American citizens, like right away. I mean, they wanted to be American citizens. And my mother, I remember when my mother became American citizen, she went to the classes to study, and she was very proud. And we made her a party when she became American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
She was proud. She wanted to be American citizen. That was what they both wanted. My family, my mother and father. But see, you get a lot of people coming from different countries nowadays. They don't want to become American citizens. They just want to work here and get the money and send it home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, see, it's not the same as when I got here and my mother and father got here. They were proud to be Americans. These are the people, they don't want nothing to do with being American. They just want the money, you know what I mean?
Right.
So there's a lot of problems that come along with that. And like I say, I'm a musician. I ain't a politician, so I don't know. I ain't got none of the answers, and I would never want to do with anything, have anything to do with anything like that, because
right.
I ain't got the answers. But it's amazing, man. Something needs to be done, but I don't know what it is. So somebody needs to figure that one out, man. Hey, and we'll play at the gig.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Now, just to recap again, since you're going to be coming here this Sunday at the Merriam Theater, what should the people expect to hear that evening?
What we're doing is we're going to do a little mixture of everything that we do. I'm going to give people a little bit of authentic salsa music,
mm-hmm.
and definitely some Latin jazz and a little bit of Latin soul.
Okay.
So that involves, and then we have some, and that involves some of the classics that we have recorded already on different albums.
Right.
But we also got some new music. We are probably going to go in the studio in January to do the new CD, and it's a tribute to John Coltrane.
Oh.
So we're doing some of the John Coltrane music, of course, done Poncho Sanchez style.
Right.
And so we're doing some of the John Coltrane music now live when we perform. And so we'll have some brand new John Coltrane music that we'll play, and then, of course, some of the classics that we are known for.
Oh, man, that would be wonderful. That's going to be a treat for everybody over there to see this. So,
yeah.
And if anybody wants to look at your discography and find out more information, or even just maybe purchase a CD or two, where should they go to?
You can get everything through my website if you go to ponchosanchez.com. That tells you everything. That's got everything there. Everything's for sale. It tells you our schedule for the next, 8 months or something like that. You know what I mean? So PonchoSanchez.com, you can get everything through there.
Excellent, excellent.
Now we'd like to do a number that was recorded with us by the great Mongo Santa Maria. We'd like to do our version of Bésame, Mamá.
Bésame, mamá. Mongo.
I appreciate the time here. Like I said, I mean, it's an honor just to speak with you and just going through your music. I mean, you're to me, and like I said, to my father, he was the one that got me into you. I remember the first time, and I don't know if you even remember this. I think the first time I saw you on television was on the Today Show.
Oh, yeah, we've done that a couple of times.
You were dressed in mariachi, if I'm correct.
No. I think we just, what we did is we played in a square in Los Angeles where the mariachis play a lot.
Okay.
And it was Cinco de Mayo, so they were celebrating all that kind of stuff. So they probably showed some of that right before I came on.
Oh,
and it was with Brian Gumbel, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that was a classic, man. And it just so happened that Mongo Santa Maria was in Los Angeles at that time, and I went to go see Mongo the night before at a local spot, and I told Mongo that I was going to come out on TV with Brian Gumbel the next day, and I asked him, Mongo, do you want to come out on TV with us? And he said, yeah, just pick me up. So, yeah, I picked him up at his hotel, and we took him over there, and we got some drums for him. And Mongo plays, I got that video. Mongo played two songs with us, and Brian Gumbel interviewed us, and Brian Gumbel knew exactly who Mongo was. He goes, how did you get this guy here? You know what I mean? Because he wasn't scheduled to be on, you know what I mean?
And Mongo, well, God rest his soul, is such an amazing player.
You know, oh, man.
Years. I mean,
that was my hero. I liked the way Mongo played. I liked his style. I liked his sound, you know what I mean? And Mongo, we became very good friends. And it was a dream come true to know Mongo and to hang out with him. He was one of my best friends at the end when he passed. Mm. As a matter of fact, I named my oldest son after him. I have a son named Mongo.
Oh, wow.
So I named after Mongo. And he knew all about that. He knew when he was a baby. And it's funny because through the years, when I would see Mongo, he would tell me, don't forget to give the baby a kiss for me, you know what I mean? Because he was a baby at first, right?
Right.
And he would tell me that every year I would see him somewhere when I was traveling or playing. Poncho, don't forget to give the baby a kiss for me. I said, Mongo, he's 20 years old now. And Mongo go, oh, that, yeah. Oh, he's not a baby no more.
No,
give him a hug. Give me a hug.
Any friendly competitions between you and Mongo ever?
No, competition. He was my guest. I was a guest with his band, but competition, no, man. We always grooved and played together, man. We were Mongo is my hero in life. I also have a video from Puerto Rico where it's Giovanni, Mongo, and myself. All three of us are playing together with Mongo's band.
Wow.
So that was heavy, man. Yeah. So this, hey, man, there's a lot of history here, man.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And more history to come with your new album for Mr. Coltrane. I can imagine it's just going to be spectacular, just like everything else has been.
Thank you so much, man. And hey, tell the folks that we're excited to play one more time in Philly. It's been a while since we've been in Philly, and we're looking forward to it. And it's a family affair, man. Bring the whole family, and we got something for everybody. And when we get there, we're going to jump, shout, and shimmy.
There you go. That's right. It's
going
to be great. I can't wait to see you this Sunday, Pancho. So appreciate it again. It's an honor, and I'll definitely see you on Sunday.
Okay, thank you, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Keep it going, baby. I got you going.
On time now.
hands.